Radio Gorgeous. Listen anywhere, anytime.
Well, wouldn't you know, he kissed her again because she had kisses sweeter than wine. She had kisses sweeter than wine.
Hello and welcome to Radio Gorgeous. My name's Josephine Pembroke.
And I'm Donna Freed.
Woohoo! We're back! It's so exciting. And have we got a bumper show for you. This week we've got Birds with Bottle.
Birds with Bottle.
I know that's us, but it's also two other women as well, Sandra and Mel, and they are wine experts, and they talk about wine in the most hysterical manner. And they came around to my garden in the summer and we drank rosé. Even the rosé they brought was from Brad and Angelina's vineyard.
No. Yes. Fab.
So, and they're really funny and they kind of talk about it. It's like, oh yeah, this is so lovely. Oh, this will go my lipstick. You know, they make everything really feminine. And so it's so Radio Gorgeous and perfect. And then who is the literary lust today author?
Pauline Butcher. She ended up working with Frank Zappa. American, I know. And she was this very buttoned up business girl. You know, she wore her Biba clothes.
So this is in the 1960s?
Yes. Yeah. And Frank Zappa was in London and she was sent over as a steno girl. And she ended up living with him and his family and all the hangers-on, including Susie Cream Cheese and all these characters.
So she became a kind of hippie by accident.
Exactly, exactly.
So you interviewed her?
Yeah, she's a really fascinating story. So, and it's My Life with Frank Zappa.
Brilliant, brilliant. And then, do you like pottery? Do you have crockery in your house?
I got... It's my 16th birthday present, which I begged for. Ceramics Monthly magazine.
I didn't know you, really.
Yes, I was an aspiring potter myself at one point.
So did you learn?
I did. I used to, work on the wheel.
Yeah, does it wobble for you, darling?
Well, it probably would now. I haven't done it in a really long time. But yeah, no, I really, really, really enjoyed ceramics and
so do you have anything left? We could see a Donna Freed.
I don't know. I think it's mostly broken.
Because I interviewed the queen of pottery in the UK, Emma Bridgewater.
Love her stuff.
She's so understated. She's so intelligent and interesting. And you are going to love her story. And she really does tell her story of, how she started in business, the idea, how Emma Bridgewater's now a kind of £1 million+ company. She also talks about her illness, which has forced her into the writing. Anyway, but you'll hear about this.
Wonderful.
And it's going to be fascinating. But first of all, let's go meet those birds with bottle.
He kissed her again because she had kisses sweeter than wine. She had kisses sweeter than wine.
RadioGorgeous.com. Wine, where do you start with your pinks, reds and whites? My advice is to start here on Radio Gorgeous with those birds with bottle, Mel Jones and Sandra Clement. Welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you. And as Josephine said, we are Birds with Bottle. I'm Sandra Clement and here next to me is Mel Jones, who's a master of wine.
And we're here at Radio Gorgeous because we've got a thing about wine.
And we want everyone out there to have a thing about wine too.
Now today we're looking at rosés and reds to help you elongate your summer and to keep that sun-kissed feeling going for as long as possible.
Yeah, because we only normally get a couple of teasing pecks at summer, don't we? But this year we've been enjoying a more al fresco lifestyle and we feel, frankly, dead Mediterranean.
Now rosé tends to be thought of as a girl's wine.
Yeah, you don't often hear, do you, a pint of rosé, please, across the bar. You don't just hear that at all, do you?
No. But in the privacy of a dinner party, men are getting quite in touch with their pink side.
Yes. So we think this first wine, well, we think it'll appeal to everybody out there. Men, women, everyone. It's beautiful and gorgeous. It's called the M. Diminuti. It's a Côte de Provence rosé. It's the 2013 vintage. And this one is available from Majestic. It's $14.99 normally. But they do have it on a multi-buy offer until the 27th of October at £11.24 if you buy two.
Now, describing the colour of rosé on radio doesn't work terribly well.
It doesn't, does it?
This is barely rosé. It's more a flesh colour, isn't it?
Yeah, very pretty, very pale, very elegant looking. Now, shall we taste it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, this is made from some of the typical grapes that you would find down in the south of France, Grenache and Sansot. And there's another one that's popped in there that you might be less familiar with called Tiburon, which is T-I-B-O-U-R-E-N. So it's a blend of three, this.
Right, let's taste it.
I'm getting quite a lot on the nose, actually, before I've even put it in my mouth. It's really quite fragrant.
But I think it's important to say that Provence Rosé, if you had your eyes closed, is almost like white wine, isn't it? It's not a fruity, berry, cherry sort of thing.
No. It's quite amazing. It's dry. It's very dry.
Yeah.
It's got a real intense, long flavour on it.
Yeah, I think the length is, it shows it's really good quality.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell that it's an expensive wine. It doesn't taste cheap. And I know that sounds maybe like a silly thing to say, but it has that nice texture in the mouth, even though it's a rosé. And the bottle is beautiful as well. Looks really good on the table.
It's that typical sort of Skittle-shaped Provençal bottle.
Now, you see, I would call it hourglass, which actually would appeal to the men out there as well, wouldn't it? But whatever, the other good thing is it's available in a magnum.
It's always nice to have a big one.
It's always nice to have a big one. Now, Provence rosés are one of the most elegant and sophisticated of rosés, and they are sometimes a bit like this one, a bit pricey, not helped by the fact that they've lately developed a bit of a film star image. I mean, there is Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt down in Provence making rosé. It's called Miraval, quite expensive, $17.99, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And they're onto their second vintage of that. And actually, Keira Knightley served this Minuti at her wedding.
As I did, frankly.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Now, I'm imagining this with one of those great big assiette de fruits de mer.
Oh, that would be lovely and perfect. Or griddled prawns with a squeeze of lemon juice.
Or if you're really pushing the boat out, what about some lobster?
Yeah. Or just simple smoked salmon, crack of black pepper, slice on a slice of sourdough bread with some snippings of dill.
Or something Sandra and I have both done is you take just a side of salmon, slather a whole pot of red pesto over it, wrap it in foil and put it in a hot oven for 45 minutes. That really works.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. And in fact, a handy tip here, rosé really works with food that it colour coordinates with.
I'm having a bit of a moment here. I'm imagining a glass of this, a frosted glass. There's a bit of a whiff of lavender on the air. I've got a bowl of those great big fat olives. It's the end of the day. George Clooney's rubbing after sun into my elegantly pink shoulders.
You wish. But it is a moment. And the thing about the birds' tastings and videos is we're all about moments.
Yeah, so let's get on with the next wine. Another rosé. This is the Mayu. I'm multitasking here, pouring and talking at the same time. I can do that. This is the Mayu Carmenere Syrah. Oops. It's the 2012 vintage, and it is £7 in Asda, but it's reduced to £5.50 during the first week of September. And this is from the Elqui Valley in Chile.
Yeah. Now, to help you, colour-wise, this is a much, much deeper rosé colour than the previous wine. I'm thinking crushed raspberries, or maybe if you're a bit of a motor girl, Alfa Romeo red. And I do happen to have a lipstick in my handbag that's pretty much the same colour.
Now, I'm imagining myself, because this is a Chilean wine from the Elqui Valley, I'm imagining myself arriving at Santiago Airport. Now, I don't know if you do this, but at the top of the airplane steps, you know how the heat hits you when you walk out? And with the sun beating down on your face, I sometimes close my eyes.
That sounds like a recipe for disaster. You're likely to fall flat on your face, Mel, and end up in Chilean A&E.
Just let me have my moment. OK, I'm going to hold onto the handrail for health and safety purposes.
I'm happy now.
Now, when you close your eyes, the colour behind your eyes with the sun beating through is the colour of this wine. That's where I was going.
Now, just so you know, Mel often goes off on one like this.
Nobody out there closes their eyes at the top of airplane steps?
Well, I think we should move on swiftly and time we tasted this wine.
Oh, yes. Now, immediately, this is so different from the last wine. It's really fruity.
All sorts
of lovely things.
It smells New World. It smells riper. You can tell there's some really, really sweet fruit going on in there. There's a sort of strawberry note,
yeah,
isn't
and
there?
Cherry. Gorgeous. A quick taste. Again, it's much fruitier than the last wine.
It is. There's, it's red fruit, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's ripe, sweet, sweeter red fruit.
And it's got a bit of sweetness, and that means it's going to be great with Asian food.
Yeah. So we're talking red Thai curry. Oh, once again, you see, colour coordinating. because it would work too with chicken tikka masala, or maybe spicy fish cakes with a sweet chilli sauce. Homemade, of course.
Now, that was Sandra lapsing into a bit of food porn, which the two of us can spend hours doing.
Days.
Frankly. We can spend days doing food porn, because we are intensely foodly.
Foodly.
And sometimes we just can't help ourselves.
No.
Right, moving on. We are pumping up the colour now.
And the pouring still.
And pouring some wine. I can't pour and talk at the same time. This is the Louis Jadot Beaujolais Village Combe au Jacques.
Excuse I'm glad me. Mel said that one, because my French is appalling.
My Spanish is, and she's quite good at Spanish. It's the 2012 vintage, and it's £10.49 at Tesco, Waitrose, Budgens, Booths, and lots of independents.
Right. Now, I don't think we need to describe the colour of a red to you, so...
It's quite pale.
Yeah, it is quite pale, because, this is made of Gamay, which is the typical Beaujolais grape. It is the Beaujolais grape.
And it's a grape that's very low in tannin, which we like. And also this has got no oak, so it's smooth.
Yeah, and no oak is pretty standard for Beaujolais. And in fact, this is only 12.5% alcohol, so it's quite a good lunchtime wine.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, it's French, so it's pretty much bone dry. It's not a sweet, fruity, New Worldy style.
No, it's got that cherry characteristic that you get in Gamay, but it's got, it is so French, isn't it? It's absolutely so French. Lovely, slightly spicy on the end, which normally you'd associate from the oak, but this has no oak, so it's obviously coming just from the fruit and the winemaking.
Delicious.
Now, as we said, it's a light red, which is perfect for this time of year. I mean, nobody is ready for tannic monsters or beefy blockbusters. Although, come the autumn, that's exactly what we'll be yearning for.
It's a typical picnic one as well. I mean, over the summer, we've recommended it to be slipped into cool bags, for anything from flip-flops and shorts on the beach to Glyndebourne, Henley, Royal Ascot. In fact, any competitive picnic in high heels and a hat.
We like those, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is still good as we move to point-to-point season. I mean, things like BBC Proms in the Park as well, or Bestival. I mean, this carries you through all those late summer outdoor events.
So we're talking homemade pork pie.
Actually, Mel makes a cracking homemade pork pie.
I make a cracking homemade pork pie. Game terrine, perhaps.
Mm.
And something Sandra makes beautifully, goat's cheese pesto and grilled tomato tarts.
Oh, I'm fancying one of those right now.
Yeah, or a bit of ham on Iberico, a bit of saucisson set with wild herbs.
Or maybe fennel.
Or fennel, or a smoked duck breast, perhaps.
Sounding good. And in fact, we just showed this at a garden festival, and it got a big thumbs up, particularly from people who didn't think that they liked red wine.
Yeah, and there's a lot of those
around.
It's a
sort of crossover. And I wouldn't actually chill this, but you could serve this one quite cold, couldn't you?
Yeah.
And it would go down very nicely.
Right, we're moving on to another red. Just pour it. I don't know why I keep pouring the wine. It's just...
I was going to say you're good at it, but you're proving that you're not really that. And I thought all women were supposed to multitask. Well
I'm so sorry. So this is the Sainsbury's.
Is that one?
Yes, that one. Sainsbury's Taste the Difference Pinot Noir Grand Reserva 2012. And that's just £8. And this is also from Chile, and it's from Casablanca.
Yeah. We're going to taste it straight away, but I'm going to tell you, you really can taste the difference here. This is a really great wine for £8.
And again, it's light in colour. Yeah, it's almost lighter than the Gamay was.
Yeah, and on the nose again, you know it's a New World wine. It's so obviously riper.
Oh, it's so fragrant, yeah, isn't it?
Really? It is. It really is drawing you in. Now, there's nothing like an inviting nose to make you kind of want to go further, isn't it? And this is absolutely inviting.
Actually, I'd quite like to dab this behind my ears. I know it might sound smell a bit like an old wino, but it's so fragrant, so beautiful.
Now, this is a much darker colour, and I haven't got a lipstick that matches this because I don't think it would suit me very well.
Now, it has got some oak flavour.
Yeah, it has. It is actually French oak. You're probably not bothered about that. You're probably more into the fact it's £8 and tastes delicious.
Yeah. But it's not that in-your-face, leathery, rich Barossa Shiraz type of oak. So it's perfect for this sort of early autumn time of year.
Yeah, but the slight oakiness in it and these riper, new world, sort of vanilla-y, raspberry, strawberry flavours. I mean, they shout barbecues. I mean, at home we barbecue until even the patio heater and two fleeces don't keep us warm anymore. So we've got at least a couple more months of it for the rest of the year, haven't we?
Yeah. And this really goes with barbecue sauces, with char-grilled meats, with chicken marinated in honey, soy, garlic, olive oil.
Oh, I can feel a bit of harissa sauce coming on as well.
Oh, harissa sauce, perfect.
Oh, anything like that's going to be wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, actual barbecuing, that tends to be thought of as a man's thing. There they are in their big pinny, with their big tongs, slapping a big steak on their super-sized beef master.
But us girls know that it's the women who have the marinating skills and can throw an ad hoc salad together with panache.
Absolutely we can. Now, we've done at least a couple of videos on wines for barbecues. So if you want to have a look, do visit birdswithbottle.com.
We taste hundreds of wine each. In fact, thousands of wine each year.
It's a hard job. It really is a hard job.
I know. Our job is to pick out the best wines from your local supermarkets, off licences and online stores. And we show them at tastings or on our videos.
Yeah. And we don't just choose wines for particular occasions. We also recommend wines for more spurious moments, such as, you know, wines for when the kids have gone back to school. I mean, that's quite spurious, but very necessary. Wines for when you've been gazumped. Oh, tears. Or something like wines for a hot date.
Yeah, when you leave him panting on the sofa, return to the kitchen to find the cat standing next to the starter, licking its lips.
Yeah, and you discover that your Mary Berry tart has developed a soggy bottom.
And something has most definitely gone off the boil.
Yeah, well, if any of that sounds like fun, then you really do need to get to know birdswithbottle.com and look at our videos on our website.
And because we're birds, we do like to Twitter. And
we're
on at birdswithbottle.
And also, if any of you guys fancy a tasting out there, we are up for the task.
We are. Yeah. We'll do
garden parties, corporates, privates, anything.
Wow. God, you are just... I mean, it helps that I'm a little bit drunk now. But you are...
Lightweight.
You are. I know. That's what my children call me. No, honestly, you are just so radio gorgeous, my darlings. I'm so proud of you. Really, really good. And I've watched your videos and they are hysterical, just like this. In fact, I've realised on the radio, you can go into even more detail, can't you, than the videos?
Yeah, because we tried to keep it snappy and short because especially when people can't wander around because they've got to watch, you know, they can't just listen and be still be doing their washing up and taking it in or looking online to see where they can buy the wines that we're suggesting.
So tell me about you then, Mel first. You've got an MW after your name, darling. I think that's very impressive. What does it mean?
It means I'm bonkers. And I spent 6 years, I took the exam 4 times. It's a really, really difficult qualification.
There only are 312 Masters of Wine in the whole world, and I'm not one.
What?
I think about 12 to 15% of people who start the course ever actually pass. It is so, so difficult. But if you're obsessed about wine, what fun. And what I really enjoyed about it was, you know, I live in Gloucestershire. I go up to London, yip for tastings. But now I have friends all over the world. And that's so exciting. It's so, you know, you come down in the morning and there's an email from some guy in Canada or some girl in Hong Kong. And for me, that really is fabulously interesting.
I read online that you kind of did a dissertation on sherry.
Yeah, I love sherry.
Tell me about your sherry addiction, darling.
I'm so obsessed for sherry. It's just the most beautiful drink. It's weird. And I think if you're a foodie type, then sherry is, it's a weird and interesting flavour. And it is so food friendly. It's so fabulous. And we've got new neighbours, and they came for dinner on Saturday night. And this one guy bought me a really expensive bottle of sherry. And I thought, he is trying hard. You know, it's just, I mean, people who think sherry is...
Oh, you think of it as grannies, don't
grannies,
you?
Grannies.
Cream sherry.
Cream sherry. Just think again. Try, you know, it goes all the way from searingly dry, fabulous aperitif wines, all the way up to PX, Pedro Jimenez. You know, it's like treacle, it's brown, it's fabulous Bourbon ice cream, and all styles in between. It is the absolute drink.
And can it be drunk with every course?
With every course, absolutely. Oh. I mean, Amontillado. God, well, particularly things with mushrooms, but all the way, yeah, cheese board. Sherry with cheese is knockout. Mm. It's really...
Would you have a more fruity one with cheese, or do you want a very dry
Well, they're
one?
Nearly all dry. Okay. You could do both. Because okay. That PX sherry, the dark, sticky one, is extraordinary with Roquefort. Mm. Because you've got that intensely salty, dirty taste of the blue cheese mixed with this gaggingly sweet. I mean, it's really sweet wine. It's too sweet to drink like a whole glass of, but if you add it with a very salty cheese, you're getting an extraordinary match.
Now, over to you, Sandra. Tell me about your wine journey.
Well, I got into it quite late, really, because I used to be a mainstream journalist and then decided I wanted to specialise, so I put myself through the courses. And
what courses did you do?
Well, I did the WSET, which is basically the standard courses. I just didn't go as far as Mel.
Is that kind of
Mel.
Learning to smell and...
Yeah, yeah. And sort of understanding what goes on where and what grapes you'd expect where and everything from terroir to, well, just, you know, how winemaking works. And so I did the diploma, which is the one down from the MW, but quite a long way down because it's definitely not 6 years. It's sort of 2 years, really.
Yeah, but it's like doing an A-level, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. So that's
when
what
did
I did.
That?
Oh gosh. Probably about 9 or 10 years ago. I mean, I did get quite whiny, when I worked on the magazine because Julie Goulden used to be our wine columnist and I always used to edit all her pages and I used to do all the food pages. So I could see that I had the potential. And then I remember watching things like Food and Drink and starting to get dinner parties together where everyone had to bring something in a sock so we could all guess what it was, but I took it very seriously in the way that I'd have to go and get something really extraordinary that nobody would guess what it was rather than just pick the first bottle off the Sainsbury's shelf. So that sort of got me into the interest, and then I thought, right, let's go from it from there. And then started writing, and the Mel thing happened because...
Yeah, the Mel thing. How
the
did
Mel
you,
thing
you,
happened.
How did your relationship start, darling?
We met on a pavement in Soho.
We did.
Oh, can't think of anything better, darling.
We were lost looking for one of the press tastings and both realised that we were looking for the same thing.
Yeah.
Found we had the same sense of humour, became friends.
And I think we say we're tongue-in-cheekily serious about wine. We are so against the Poncy wine expert pontificating about stupid things.
Yeah.
Well, they also make you feel helpless and stupid.
Yes.
Which is
and that I think that's why we not only became friends, but we then started working together because we both felt exactly the same thing.
And when did the channel start?
3 or 4, yeah.
3 years.
Do you feel like you're getting better, like Radio Gorgeous?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're learning on the job.
Yeah, when I look back, you know, we were very long-winded about things. We really cared about what we had in the background, and we were sort of putting tiny little things that
but no one
like
ever
the right
saw.
And no one's interested in that. They just want to, you know, you could do it against the white
but
background,
also, I think we could have sat around for another 9 months before we started, just planning how we were going to do it and thinking, oh, is this the right way? Is this the wrong way? And actually, I think the right thing was to just get out there and then learn on the job because, you know, you get better because you just have the experience of doing it. And now we're not really fazed by anything now, are we?
No.
Perfect. So lovely to have you on Radio Gorgeous. That's birdsabottle.com. Thank you so much, Mel and Sandra. That was so brilliant. Thank you so much, Donna, for coming on the show today.
And thank you for being back.
Welcome back to Radio Gorgeous 2014. Hope you had a fabulous summer, darlings.
There once was a young man who'd never been kissed. He got to thinking it over how much he had missed. So he found a gal, he kissed her, and then, well, wouldn't you know, he kissed her again, because she had kisses sweeter than wine. She had kisses sweeter than wine. He asked her to marry and be his good wife, and to make him happy the rest of his life. He begged and he pleaded like a natural man, and wouldn't you know, she gave him a hand, because she had kisses sweeter than wine. She had kisses sweeter than wine. He worked mighty hard, and so did his wife, working hand in hand to make a good life. There was corn in the fields and wheat in the bins. Wouldn't you know, he was the father of twins, because she had kisses sweeter than wine. She had kisses sweeter than wine. Their children numbered just about four, and they all had sweethearts knocking at the door. They all got married, didn't hesitate. Before long he was the grandfather of eight, because she had kisses sweeter than wine. She had kisses sweeter than wine. Now he is old and ready to go. He gets to thinking what happened a long time ago. They had lots of kids and trouble and pain. But you can bet your life he'd do it again, because she had kisses sweeter than wine. She had kisses sweeter than wine. It's clear to see she had kisses sweeter than wine.
Radio Gorgeous, we'll never let you down.